This is HPR episode 1787 entitled, A Beginner with a Walk. It is hosted by Frank Bell and is about 17 minutes long. The summary is, Frank Bell shares some of the things he's learned about cooking with a walk.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, this is Frank Bell. Today I want to talk about something which has very little to do with computers, but can be rather geeky, and that's cooking. I've recently purchased a wok. I did it completely on impulse. I don't remember exactly what it costs. I think about $26, and I've been having fun learning how to use it. So today I'm going to talk about some of the things I've learned about making stir-fry dishes. Before I get started, though, I just want to recognize and express my appreciation to John Culp for the tremendous effort he has put forth in the past few weeks to make sure that HPR has had shows and that this great effort stays alive. Back to my topic. As I said, I'm not an expert in using a wok by any means, but I've gotten good enough so that I'm starting to ad lib my own recipes. If you're looking for an expert, look somewhere else. But as I'm still learning the basics, I think I'm in a pretty good position to explain the basics to anyone who might be interested in giving wok cooking a whirl. This wok I got arrived with very elaborate instructions about how to season it. It involved heating the wok to very hot, coating it with oil, wiping the oil off, and repeating until nothing would stick to the wok. The instructions actually said it might take as many as 10 iterations of this procedure before it was successful, but actually in my case it only took 3. And at that point, the device was as thoroughly seasoned as my mother's cast iron frying pans, which are easily 70 or 80 years old, and nothing sticks to them either. If the frying pan or the wok is properly seasoned, once you're done using it, you can clean it simply by rinsing it, maybe occasionally letting it soak for a few minutes, and then just wiping it clean with a sponge or a paper towel. You do not want to use dish detergent on them or any kind of soap, because that will take off the seasoning and then you'll have to season it all over again or it will not cook properly. Now on to what I've discovered about using the darn thing. The first thing I learned was that cooking with a wok is surprisingly easy. Much easier than, say, for example, making a souffle, and hundreds of times easier than making hollandaise sauce from scratch with a whisk, the old-fashioned way. Do that once, and it will convince you to use the blender way forevermore. I've cooked stir-fried shrimp with vegetables, chicken with vegetables, various vegetarian dishes, not because I'm a vegetarian by any means, but because vegetarian dishes prepared in a stir-fry manner and served over rice with some nice soy sauce or other sauce are actually quite tasty and can be very filling. What I've found are suitable for wok cookery in terms of vegetables are pretty much any vegetable that you could saute up in a frying pan or roast on a grill and have them turn out well. Items such as snow peas, mushrooms, scallions, onions, peppers, asparagus, even celery. Anything you can saute in a frying pan and have it turn out tasty can work very nicely in a wok. I've even made some recipes with, say, peas. I have used some frozen vegetables from time to time, such as peas, or once I think I did something with lima beans, and I wouldn't recommend lima beans. They don't work quite nicely unless you get the real small tender lima beans, but I still prefer them boiled the traditional way with just a little bit of beef bouillon in the mixture to give them a little added flavor. Otherwise, I generally don't like canned vegetables at all, especially canned green vegetables such as peas and green beans. There's something in the canning process that gives them a flavor that I find rather distasteful and unpleasant. You can also use nuts. You can use pinoles or pine nuts in some dishes and have them work quite nicely. And sometimes, particularly in chicken dishes, even some peanuts. And of course, spices and ideally fresh garlic, though you can get away with garlic powder or minced garlic, you know, dried minced garlic in a pinch. As a hook for describing what I've learned about how to do wok cookery, I'm going to use the recipe that actually I prepared last night, which was stir-fried chicken with mushrooms, asparagus, scallions, and garlic. And as I go through this, I will point out what I've found as a more or less general principles of wok cookery. The reason I picked asparagus for this particular recipe is because in this time of year, in my part of the world, is when you can get good, fresh asparagus. And I stumbled over a nice big batch of fresh asparagus at my local supermarket the last time I went shopping. I find there are four basic steps to wok cookery, at least what I've been doing. You need to prep your ingredients, including your spices, and have everything ready to go before you start cooking. Then you want to properly preheat the wok before you actually start cooking with it and have it all ready. Then, of course, you cook the dish, and the final step, of course, is to eat what you've just cooked. The prep is one of the most important steps, because once you start cooking, stuff moves pretty fast. Whatever you need to cook needs to be sliced or diced into small pieces, not infinitesimal pieces. And of course, when you dice the chicken, you don't have to put the little black dots on it, just cut it up before you start cooking, and including having your spices and any sauces you're going to use in the cooking process ready to go. If, for example, you're cooking shrimp, you want to have the shrimp peeled and deveined and waiting before you start to cook them. This chicken I cooked last night, I cut up into pieces of about half an inch square, give or take. They don't have to be all consistently the same size. This is not an exercise in precision. You just want to have them cut up so that all the pieces will cook at approximately the same speed. I like to marinate the chicken before I cook it, so I actually cut it up about 3 or 4 hours in advance and put it in a dish and poured some teriyaki sauce, some commercial teriyaki sauce from the grocery store, over it, mixed it up real good, and let it sit in there and soak in until I was ready to start. You can find really neat marinades in the Asian section of your local grocery store. If it has such a section, I would encourage you to try different ones. So far, I've tried 3 different types of sauces that were all marketed as teriyaki sauce, but each one was a little different from the others. And of course, if you can't find something, that dry sherry makes for a very nice marinade for whatever you might be willing to do. And unlike marinating something in red wine or white wine, once you open the sherry bottle, you don't have to worry that the sherry is going to go bad in a week. We don't drink much wine in this house, and that would be a worry if I tried to use wine, but using a nice dry sherry, the sherry bottle might last me 6 months or so. So once I was ready to start cooking, I sliced up the vegetables I was going to use, and I sorted them by the order in which they were going to go into the wok. Different items cook at different speeds, or take longer cooking times would probably be a more accurate way to express it. So I put the chopped scallions, and I could have used Vidalia onions or white onions or any other kind of onions, but the scallions are good this time of year. The scallions and 5 peeled garlic pieces. Today I didn't mince them. Sometimes I would have minced them or sliced them, but I just wanted to use the whole ones last night in one little dish because they were going to go in first. Now the asparagus takes a relatively long time to cook compared to the mushroom. So I sliced up the asparagus in pieces of about 3/4 inch to 1 inch long and put them in another dish. And finally, I sliced up the mushrooms and put them in yet another dish. So everything there was ready. Then I got down the spices I was going to use. I got some mild Hungarian paprika sauce, which we had purchased by mail from a place called Otto's European Deli in Los Angeles. Otto's, by the way, is a pleasure to deal with on the telephone. If you want to cook with paprika and have it come out right, use Hungarian paprika. Bears no resemblance to the Spanish stuff that we find in the spice rack of your typical American supermarket. And I used, well, I think a little basil, some pepper, and that was about it. And then I preheated the wok and got it nice and hot. Now, you don't want it burning hot. The instructions at the couple of tutorials that I read said the ideal heat is at a level where if you flick some droplets of water into it from your fingers, the water beads up and sizzles away almost immediately. And on my particular stove, that seems to happen when I have the burner. This stove happens to be an electric stove when I have the burner set at medium. I got the wok nice and hot. I did the water test. When it was satisfactory, I put in about a tablespoon of oil. Now, you need to choose your oil carefully. I used canola oil, which is called canola oil because it's come from rape seeds. So I think that the canola is PR name, much as the dolphin fish got renamed Mahi Mahi, if I remember correctly, because people didn't realize they were eating fish. They thought they were eating flipper. I also like to use grape, as in Concord grape, grape seed oil. That's good for high heat cooking. So is peanut oil. Olive oil is not particularly good for high heat cooking. It separates at a lower temperature and gets smokes at too low a temperature. So I threw in my oil and I put in the spices. No, I never measure them. I put in the spices and just mixed them up real quick with my wooden spoon and then dumped in the chicken. And I cooked the chicken until it was thoroughly cooked through, which was approximately 4 minutes. And as soon as it was done, I dumped the chicken into a casserole dish and ran it into the oven at a low heat, about 200 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 93°C if I did my arithmetic correctly and properly remembered my 7th grade math, to keep warm. Then I had to add some more oil because the chicken had kind of used up, so, and some more spices. So I did that real quick. And then I chunked in the scallions and the garlic. And I stirred them frequently. And you should also stir the chicken frequently. Now, here's a footnote. When you look up a definition of stir fry, it will often say that stir fry is a method of cooking that involves stirring continuously. No, it doesn't. It involves stirring very, very frequently, but you can take a moment, say, to turn away and rinse out a dish in the sink, if it's a dish you're not using anymore, and then turn back and stir. You don't have to stand there like the agitator on a Mixmaster and keep stirring every single second at so many revolutions. You can take a break for 10 or 20 seconds. So, as soon as that was ready, I threw in the asparagus. Now, the asparagus, I've learned from experience, takes a little longer to cook. I gave it about 4 minutes and kept stirring and stirring, and finally grabbed one and tasted it when it seemed to be not done all the way through, because there's more cooking time coming, but done enough to go to the next step. Then I chunked in the mushrooms, and still stirring very frequently, cooked them for about 3 minutes. And when they were about ready, I took the chicken out of the oven, dumped the chicken back in, and stirred everything around until it was all properly heated through and ready to serve, at which point I put it into a casserole dish, put a lid on it, took the rice off the stove, and in our case, we usually eat brown rice. Brown rice takes about 45 minutes to cook, maybe sometimes an hour, so I had started the rice before I actually started cooking the entree, and it ended, was all done right about the time the main course was ready, so they both hit the table at the same time, and we chowed down. So, just to recap, cooking with a wok is easy. Also, as I have used skillets for years and years and years to cook all kinds of stuff, I disagree with those folks who say that you can use a skillet. Yes, you can use a skillet. You will not get the same results. So if you want to try this, I'd recommend, you know, spend the $25 or so that it would cost to get one that's good enough for home use and learn with the right tools. You need to plan what you're going to cook and prep the ingredients, because once you start cooking, stuff moves too fast for you to do your ad-libbing there. Any ad-libbing you're going to do needs to be done in the planning stage. I know that sounds contradictory, but contradiction is part of life. And then, yes, you add the ingredients to cook them. You cook them quickly. You cook them thoroughly, starting with the items that take the longest to cook and adding items in order to the ones that take the shortest amount of time to cook. I would encourage anyone, if you like to cook and you haven't tried cooking with a wok, give it a shot. It's a lot more fun than I expected it to be. In the show notes, I have a link to a couple of tutorials on the interwebs that I found particularly useful, and also to a couple of recipes. So, and until next time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.